5:30, I'll declare the meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. And I'd like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Thank you. And could I also remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast, so you should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements, as the recordings of this meeting will be posted publicly on Council's website once the minutes are released. And if you have a mobile phone, could I ask you to switch it to silent, please? Thank you. Don't have an agenda, Rochelle. Doesn't matter. Oh, now I've got two. Thank you. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a late apology from Councillor David Jones.
Thank you. I'd like to now invite the Reverend Peter Shaler Webb to come forward and lead us in prayer. And Reverend Webb is representing the Maxwell Anglican Church, but on behalf of the Nambucca Christian Ministers Association.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Let us pray. O God, as your Son, Jesus Christ, was obedient to his knowledge of your purposes for him, help us to understand and obey your purposes for us, and to discover the work we are best fitted to do. And as he steadfastly rejected the temptation to use unworthy means, teach us also to accept the discipline necessary to master our work and to work for the ends that you desire, to the honour of your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend.
Pleasure.
Disclosures of interest.
No, Madam Mayor, I have no disclosures of interest.
The Councillor's confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 24th of April.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Jenby. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And there are no notices of motion. And we have one public forum this evening, and that's Mr. James Parker, who's representing Travenor Research Group, and Mr. Parker's going to address Council regarding the results of our most recent community survey. Welcome, James.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for the opportunity to present the results. So my name's James Parker. I'm the National Research Director at Travenor Research, and based in Coffs Harbour, and we've had the privilege of conducting this research every 3 years for Nambucca Shire, as it was then, and Nambucca Valley Council now. And I'm delighted to be able to do so for 2024. Oh, I've got the... all good, thank you. So as I mentioned, the survey is, I've only got 10, 15 minutes, so I'll keep it very, very brief. The survey is conducted every 3 years, as I mentioned, and is designed to give Council a sort of a scorecard, I suppose, of how it's performing in relation to a whole range of different facilities and services. This is a similar survey to one run by pretty much every Council around New South Wales on a regular basis. It's conducted as a random phone survey of 400 adult residents living within the Nambucca Valley. A survey of 400 people gives you results that are accurate to within plus or minus 4.8%, just under 5%, at the 95% confidence level. That means if we ran the same survey 20 times, results should be within plus or minus 4.8% of the overall population in 19 of those 20 surveys. This survey was conducted in mid-February this year, and it had an average survey duration of just over 21 minutes. And the results have been post-weighted to match the demographic composition of the Nambucca Valley as at the 2021 census. Due to time, I won't go into random sampling, but happy to talk about it if anyone has a an interest in how the views of 400 people can represent those of the community. The first thing we ask is how satisfied people are with a whole range of different facilities and services. I won't run through them all there. I should point out, and I should have pointed out earlier, there is a full report sitting behind this, and apparently that report is already sitting on the council website for those who are interested in the detail. So there is quite a bit of detail that sits behind these results. This is very much just the top line. But this basically shows you which are the services that people are most satisfied with. The green being those who have rated them four or five out of five on the satisfaction scale. The pink are those who have rated at one or two. Three is obviously the middle. And the grey are those who did not use the facility or did not feel they were qualified to make a comment. So these are the most popular facilities. These are the ones that are in the middle. We can see here we're getting a good mix between satisfied and, well, I shouldn't say good mix, but an even mix between satisfied and dissatisfied. So this covers off things like footpaths and cycleways, river water quality, stormwater drainage, dog control, environmental monitoring and protection, and services for the elderly. And these facilities and services are the ones which scored most poorly. Sealed roads, I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. Weed control, public toilets, economic development and investment, and development applications. Although, as you'll see, half the people obviously didn't feel qualified to comment on that as they had not been involved. If we look at the differences in satisfaction mean scores, so this is again on a 1 to 5 satisfaction scale, so 3 is your neutral score here. And we can see the differences in scores since 2021. Libraries, council pools and community halls all had what we call statistically significant increases in satisfaction. The majority of facilities and services were pretty much on par or similar to what they were in 2021, no great changes. But we did see some changes for the negative in the following areas. Cleanliness of streets, sealed roads, economic development and attracting new investment, sewage collection and treatment, public toilets, dog quality, weed control, and river water quality. And so I'll show you in a moment how we put all that together in terms of creating, I guess, a list of priorities that we see for council. The other thing I just should point out, and I mention this to every council presentation I do, we do these presentations for around 40 New South Wales councils, is that these scores are a combination of two things: the role that council is playing and the role that council is perceived to be playing. And they're not always the same thing. So a lot of things council, you know, people can feel and see and touch what council is doing, such as roads and parks and gardens so forth. But there's a lot of things that people can't see. And I typically use the example of economic development. Most people don't have a really strong understanding of the role that council plays in bringing new industries or new businesses to town. So I always tell councils that they need to do a better job of banging the drum on the work that they're doing here. All this leads to a thing called a quadrant analysis, where we look at satisfaction on one scale and importance on the other scale, and divide all the facilities and services we measure into one of four quadrants. And the strengths to maintain are the ones where people are saying this is really important and we think council's doing a great job. The top left is the red flag quadrant, higher importance, lower satisfaction. And opportunities are where people are happy, but they're not necessarily linking their happiness to overall satisfaction with council. And so here are the quadrants for Nambucca Valley in 2024. And we can see there the strengths to maintain: water supply, bridges, cleanliness of streets, waste and recycling, parks, reserves and playgrounds, and upgrading the CBDs and the VWAP. The ones on the top left are what we class as the priorities. This is where people are saying we want you to focus on these and really have a good look at them. And they are services for the elderly, environmental monitoring and protection, footpaths and cycleways, coastal and beach management, river water quality, stormwater drainage, sealed roads, and public toilets. I should point out here, every council has a combination in the four quadrants. No one is ever top left or no one's ever top right, because we do actually divide them up so that there are roughly the same in each quadrant. So something has to be in each quadrant, in other words. In terms of overall performance, we ask the question, please rate your satisfaction with council's overall performance on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being very dissatisfied and 5 being very satisfied. We have seen a decline this time around from 3.3 mean to 3.12. The good news, I suppose, is that it's still above that neutral mean of 3, so that's a good thing. And I would also say that pretty much every mean we've seen across New South Wales has been down around 10% since the floods of 2022, because that obviously had a big impact on road quality, and that in turn has fed through to greater dissatisfaction with both road quality and overall satisfaction, given the importance of road quality in overall thinking. So I guess glass half full, glass half empty, it's not a great result, but it is in line with other New South Wales regional councils. And we benchmark these results also against all the regional councils that we measure, which is about 35 across New South Wales. And we can see that Nambucca Valley's score of 2024, as I mentioned, is down about 0.18 from last time. And that almost exactly correlates to the difference between our councils generally since January 2022 and prior to January 2022. In terms of the priority, we ask everybody, thinking about council services and infrastructure as a whole, what do you think council's number one priority should be over the next 10 years? And we take all the open-ended responses, which we feed through verbatim to council, but we also code them into themes. And the biggest theme this year was around roads and car parking, that they are seen as two big issues, again, fairly common amongst most LGAs. Attracting new businesses and investment is perceived as being very important. Land management and housing in terms of managing that balance of development, and facilities or services for youth were the four biggest ticket items that were mentioned unprompted by residents this time around. And you can see the list goes down from there. And we can see how this list has changed over time, and roads continues to be of great importance. Attracting new investments and businesses, although it is important, it's down slightly on 2019. But increasing facilities and services for youth has more than tripled since 2019.
James, if I could just interrupt you there.
We have an extension of time for you to have another five.
Seconded. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Sorry, James, it's just, it needs a resolution go beyond the 5-minute presentation period.
You. I'll get through it as quickly as I can. Customer service. So around half the people we spoke to, there is a question in the survey, maybe some of the people in this room have done it, is have you had any interaction with council over the last 12 months other than paying rates? And 185 of the 400 people this year said yes, we have, which is about half, which I guess just always doubly emphasises the critical role that the council plays. And more than 56% of them were satisfied with that interaction, 33% dissatisfied. And as you can see, that is slightly improved numbers on 2021, which is good to see. And in actual fact, that's created a slight uptick in satisfaction with customer service. So a good pat on the back for the hard-working staff on the front desk and on the phones. We also asked the question in the survey, what would you like to see? Or have you seen anything in your travels that you would like to see in the Nambucca Valley? And again, these are open-ended responses, which are coded, and then the open-ended responses are fed through. And the major items that came through were recreation and sporting facilities, more improved parks and facilities, retail and eateries, more youth facilities, arts and cultural events and facilities. These were the main themes that came through. But again, the verbatim comments have been fed through to council. And finally, each year, Nambucca, we run a workshop, and Nambucca Council decides what issues they would like to specifically address within the survey. And there are a couple this time around. The first one was, the question was, one aspect of affordable housing is increasing residential density in urban areas. Do you feel there should be more medium density housing, such as townhouses or apartments, in Nambucca Valley, in Nambucca Heads rather, and Maxville? And we see that the proportion saying yes to that has jumped up from 47% to 59%. We've seen that, and I can't speak for this particular survey, but we are seeing in a lot of the other surveys, affordable housing is often becoming is obviously a really big issue now, but also downsizing. A lot of older residents are going, we're looking for other options so that we can stay closer to our friends and to the main facilities, which might be driving this the support for medium density housing within the urban centres. And finally, support for other spending, that the two big ticket items when we did the workshop were an improved network of walking and cycling paths, and there is strong support for increased spending on that. So 40% said that was very important, and 31% said important. That's the blue one. And the green one was, likewise, how important you think it is for council to spend additional resources on ranger services, specifically around parking infringements, illegal camping, animal control, and illegal dumping. And again, there was strong support for that in this result, in this survey as well. This is one of the few opportunities councils typically have to do a random sample of resident opinion. And so these were the questions they chose to check, to do a pulse check on the views of Nambucca Valley residents. That's a quick summary of the results. As I mentioned, there is a full report that sits behind it, which I understand is on the website. And I thank Council for its time, and open, if there's time for questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you, James. Councillors, does anyone have any further questions? I know we received a more detailed presentation this afternoon, and councillors asked questions, but not everyone was able to attend. So are there any further questions? None? Thank you, James.
Thank you very much.
Councillors, there are no questions with notice or questions for closed meeting, so we'll go straight to page 17 of the business paper, item 9.1. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded, Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 27, item 9.2. Moved, Councillor Vance. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. No late reports. Page 29, item 10.1.
I'll move.
Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On par with our peers, I think that's okay. And, you know, there's a way forward with the survey shows with what are priorities for the community. So I think they're all good things. I totally agree on more spending on cycleways and the attracting new business opportunities and housing. I think if we were further progressed with Valor Urban Growth Area, we'd see an uptick there. So perhaps next year there may be changes in this space or a way for people to see forward. We can see that issues with the oyster and river water quality have played out through the community this year, and that these are important things for the community. It was really good to see that people are satisfied with the customer service when they ring up council. So that was very pleasing. And a lot of the things that the community prioritises around amenity in parks and barbecue areas and shops and stuff, a lot of that may be tourism based, because we get more amenity if we have more visitors. We can have an extra cafe, or perhaps an art gallery is supported. So there's lots to do in this area, and it's interesting. So it's a handy document to have, this community survey.
So I take it that after all of that, you're actually speaking for the motion that's on the floor?
I am, yes.
You're not making a statement, you're actually speaking to the motion.
I am speaking
for the motion to
recommend its
note the results. Thank you. Is there any other discussion?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Angel.
I agree. I actually found it pretty interesting, out of the 400, that the top five liked to see that Nambucca Valley was based around recreational play equipment. And taking into that little part, what they like to see in the valley is that 25% were unsure. So it's a massive little area that I think it's more based as well as around family and the youth as well as tourism. It's massive growth there. Obviously, the roads are a pretty important thing. I'd actually like to see this survey taken longer with more people, rather than, I think, about 20,000, rather than, so many percent of the population. I think it's a good opportunity next time to maybe lengthen it if we can afford to do it.
Yeah. I think we can lengthen, well, one of the issues with lengthening the survey in terms of asking for more detail is the amount of time that it takes for people to complete it. If you ring people up and tell them that you'd like them to participate in a 15-minute survey, which this one was, people may say yes. As soon as you start getting into 20, 25 minutes, people may decline.
Well, I saw the average time was 21 minutes per survey question. So I was going to ask, actually, I missed the meeting, so I apologise, but did that give opportunity for a little comment in that 21 minutes?
Yeah.
Or?
Mr Parker actually indicated that if you just sort of say, give direct answers to the questions, it takes less than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But the reason the average time was actually 21 was because people wanted to give more information or detail or further comment.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the matter of the numbers is something that I can recall us doing this first, and it was Mr Parker in those days, it was called Jetty Research. I think it was 2007 we conducted our first community survey, and each time the question of the 400 people doing the survey has been questioned, but apparently even if you increase that to 1,000 people, it doesn't increase the accuracy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that surprised me in it, talking for the most, for it all, is that the online services was 56% of people were NA. You know, such an evolving world, what blew me away is that 56% were not applicable to that question. So anyway, I just was thrown, I mean, we do put a massive focus on them here, yet out of the 400 we surveyed, 56% not applicable to them.
And I guess that's a reflection of the fact there were other questions in there where people's preference was either face-to-face or over the phone.
Yeah, still got a mark for it,
I think you'll find that if it's, you know, paying bills online, something straightforward, people are happy with that. But if they have an issue or want to report something, there's still that preference.
Well, let's not get rid of cash and cheque then, just yet, at the counter.
Well, actually, councillors, I'll be personally quite interested to see what difference the launch of the Antenno app makes.
Mm.
Hopefully, as we continue to promote its use, and now that more and more people have mobile phones, and hopefully we'll download that app. But I personally find that very useful because I get a notification on my phone as to where council's doing drainage works, road works. Might not be my area, but the other benefit of that, it reminds me of the different jobs and works that are occurring right around the community. So I'll be interested next time round. I mean, the Antenno app was only sort of established and up and running, and there's still people not aware that they can download that. How long could I ask our General Manager?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's effectively been promoted for about the last 6 months. We introduced it about 10 months to a year ago, but it was... We wanted to iron out those little issues first before we promoted it, and we promoted it through the Roads Action Group first, and it's taken on now through a number of other areas. It's I think we've got about 600 users, more than that. So it's really starting to get some traction, and a lot of our requests are now coming in through Antenno. I'll probably just, if I may, Madam Mayor, add, you may recall in the presentation in the workshop, there was a fairly significant uptick in the desire to use mobile phones or phone contact with council.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's subjective because we don't know the answer, but I'm wondering if that uptick coincides with Antenno.
Yeah.
But the Antenno results aren't coming through yet on that using the app stat.
Hence my comment, next time we do the survey, I'll be interested to see if there's a shift or any change in that.
Now, was every conversation made via landline or a mobile phone? That was my next
question. Mr Parker indicated this afternoon that the majority were the mobile phone, but there were still quite a few that were landline. 80-20 was the 80% mobile, 20% landline. Are there any other questions or is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 33, item 10.2. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 36, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Janby, seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Councillor Janby.
Just a note in the minutes that the seniors day, their lunch, where we have all service providers and seniors, didn't get grant funded. So just a thought, something to pursue there. Strange that wouldn't be funded, but via grant, but yeah.
All right, thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 38, item 10.4. Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. And I think we have an issue with one. Okay, care take period. Take a period commences and then it says ceases 14th of September. Yeah. It actually, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case too. It ceases when the final poll is declared and the entire council has been elected, which may well not be the 14th of September. It, depending on the results, it can take, I think last council election it was something like a week or more before we knew the final makeup of the 9 elected councillors. But anyway, that I'm sure that will be correct. This is a regular report, so in the next report, I'm sure that will be corrected. Now, I had a mover and seconder. There was no discussion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 39, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 42, item 11.2.
Moved
Councillor Janby, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Councillor Janby.
Yes, this is a fabulous service that Council provides to our community. I can't wait to put my couch out and my old hot water system. It's been sitting around for a few months, so I'm really anticipating the 17th of June. But I wondered whether it's worthwhile noting or that we put up some electric signage around illegal dumping, you will be caught or something, at some of those. There's a
so
hot
Councillor Janby, that should be a question through the general manager to the appropriate staff as to whether the variable message boards, is that what
variable,
you're referring
that's
to?
The one. Yes, yes, okay. Through the general manager to the either yourself or the manager for development and environment. Is it possible to get some of our variable message boards up around illegal dumping or
thank you for the question, Councillor. I'll refer that to Manager of Development and Environment.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Janby, it is something we can do. We had difficulties last year with the signs in the rural areas with people breaking in, stealing the batteries from them and causing serious damage to them. So, but we could look at some of the areas where we didn't receive those issues. I'll address that with the staff.
Okay. It's just be good if the community was, you know, on alert about it and aware that it's a no-go, you know, it's the wrong thing to do.
Well, much of the illegal dumping, unfortunately, does occur out in the rural areas where it's a little more isolated and there's not the surveillance. But basically no matter where you go in the rural area, we have our feeder roads closer into town, so perhaps the variable message boards could be closer into town in locations where people heading out to the rural areas would see them, because people have to come and go on those more arterial roads.
So would that be a... amendment to add a dot point about staff employed?
I think you could leave it.
Leave
it with the staff, because I also think Mr. Walsh might need to speak to Mr. Maloney, because the variable message boards may well be used for or required for roadworks. So I think we can confidently leave it to them to organise it.
One more question, through the general manager to the manager of development environment. You might need to take it on notice, but what was the cost of illegal dumping to council last year? Can you recall? It's not insignificant, I know that much.
Yeah, through the general manager, I couldn't give the exact figure. The previous year was $30,000, but last year it had dropped, and we did. We had those variable messaging boards and advertisements in the local paper and on social media. We have done the social media and paper again this year, but just not the message boards.
All right, okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Right. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 44, item 11.3. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Barangaray. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 49, item 11.4.
I'll move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Angel. I think Councillor Barangaray. Councillor Barangaray, did you second that?
Can't find it now.
Page 41. Sorry, it's 49. Put my glasses on.
Keep going with me.
So Farringdon Fields re-veg, the proposal for a plan of management.
Yep.
Seconded Councillor...
Yeah, we discussed it earlier.
Thank you. Seconded Councillor Barangaray. It's open for discussion. Councillor Buchanan.
it's a bit of a tricky topic in some ways. I am really tempted to, I will move an amendment ask the question.
You can't second an amendment that hasn't been put, Councillor Janvey. Just let Councillor Buchanan explain first.
Before I do that, I'd like to ask the question of the general manager, and you can refer to whoever. Have we got any information regarding the Aboriginal Heritage Impact permit? Have we submitted an application for one, or have we been successful in any applications that we know of?
I'll refer the question to the manager. Development environment. I'll probably just first clarify what your question is. This is around enhancing the protection of that area, so I'm just wondering, is the manager of development and environment can add?
I mean, do you want me to tell you
your question is?
Yeah, yeah, so, in the background section. Page 51, maybe. Page.
Are you referring to the
52.
The application that we made to Heritage New South Wales?
Yes.
Yeah. So somewhere in there, I don't remember exactly where. It says that. In here, sorry, page 52, basically the first and second paragraph talks about managing it from September onwards, and it says that council makes submission, and then it says the declaration is yet to be made. In that it says subject to their, in that piece where it says that council makes submission, subject to there being no Aboriginal heritage impact permit requirements, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, thank you, I understand.
That will impact,
What the issue there is recommending that council make a submission to the New South Wales Department of Planning and Environment supporting the Aboriginal place declaration over that entire piece of land, subject to us being able to continue to maintain our roads, water and sewage infrastructure that sits on that land without having to do an AHIP every time, Aboriginal Heritage Impact Permit application. Is that the right term?
Yep.
Because they are lengthy, and if we've got emergency works to do, we don't want to be held up by the bureaucracy of having to apply for a permit every time we need to do routine maintenance. So what we're saying is we support the proposal for the Aboriginal Place Declaration, subject to us or some mechanism by which council can continue to do their routine maintenance on our assets.
It's just a follow-up to that. I recall when we discussed this, I've got a feeling we have a sewer pump station.
There's at least one sewage pump station.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing that if you have an issue, you need to be able to get staff out there and deal, particularly given the environmental sensitivity in that area as well, because it's pretty much a wetland there in that. So if you have a sewer pump station issue, the time you apply for an AHIP permit and get a response, you've got, I guess I have to be diplomatic about what I say about how long it takes for those government agencies to process them, but I suspect that the one agency who would be very quick off the mark would be the EPA if we had a sewer spill. So that's what it was about. We're happy to support it, but we'd like an exemption, but only for necessary council maintenance work. So it wouldn't be for unfettered access.
Yeah.
Existing infrastructure.
Yeah. So, but look, my question mostly is around any current kind of thing, arrangement, because I know the site itself is registered with National Parks. I was wondering if there
The current culturally sensitive site, we don't have any, I'll get the Manager of Development and Environment to confirm this, but we don't have any infrastructure in that particular area.
No, we don't.
Under our other infrastructure, such as the road and the sewage infrastructure, we maintain that as we do any other infrastructure. I'll just get the Manager of Development to confirm that.
Yeah, through the General Manager, Councillor Buchanan, the place declaration hasn't been made, so an AHIP only applies when you're disturbing a item or a place. The site is declared item, but we're not impacting the site, it's the place.
Yep. Okay, so, thank you. I would like to amend... add another dot point.
Okay, because I was thinking of doing something similar, so well, it might be the same. Yeah, I have a suspicion we might. Yeah, what's your amendment, proposed amendment?
Okay, so my proposed amendment is that dot point 2 become dot point 3 and we throw in a new dot point 2.
Okay.
Because my idea is that it happens before dot point 3 happens in a timeline. I would like the dot point two, I guess, to be something along the lines of contact members of Council's Aboriginal Stakeholder Database and extend the invitation to consult with Council on the plan of management. It's a nominated representative, so I'll slow down. And I've got it written down, so yeah. Hopefully you can read mine. My scribble.
Wish you would have showed me that. He never showed me anything.
If you want to suggest any possible changes to that, I'm happy to work with you.
Just a query, just so that the staff are clear on what you want them to do. So are you looking for input into the draft plan before it goes on public exhibition?
That's what I was saying.
So how it's worded, okay. Because I think you'll find that under the Local Government Act, there is a section, you know how we have, the one that we're all familiar with is normal community land, but there are about 9 or 10 categories under the Act that relate to classification of land, and I think there's, in the regulations that are attached to the Act, there are actually some guidelines as to what a categorisation as culturally significant land, what constitutes or what the parameters of the plan of management have to be to meet that particular section of the Act, but obviously our staff will follow that up. Well, that would cover, the only issue with that is contact members and extend invitation to consult or a nominated representative. So
the current stakeholders are businesses or organisations.
Okay.
So if they would like to nominate a representative.
So they have one person who can liaise with council. Okay, that sounds doable and reasonable. We're not going to have 300 people that we're trying to consult with.
That's why it's written that way.
Okay. All right. That's the amendment.
Do you want to add in?
Well, because that's already an amendment, well,
I'm happy to add more.
Well, you may not, depend once you hear it. probably point three, a new point three, and move existing three now down to four. And that would be that. Developing a draft plan of management. Consideration be given to the, well, can I just ask through the General Manager the name of the Len Roberts report? Should I just refer to it as the Len Roberts report? Given to the Len Roberts report commissioned by the federal government. Are you happy to have that added to your amendment? Because that's the, I know I shouldn't speak to it because it hasn't been seconded, but that's the report that was done on the overall area and has agreement from Forestry New South Wales, private developer. I don't want to do anything in a plan of management that is contrary to something that we're asking the federal government to fund purchasing the private land. Does that make sense? If we do something that's contrary and muck up our chances of getting Land and Sea Corporation to fund the purchase of the land that presumably will later be added as culturally significant or, you know, a special place.
Okay. Sorry, but I couldn't hear Councillor Buchanan too much over there because he never got near the microphone. But I'm half deaf and I'm pretty well you know, it's hard to hear when people are not speaking into the phone. That's not only just them, but everybody in the room, you know, we're not using the microphone as well as we should be. We should be trained in this area how to use a microphone. I'm sorry, but when you got a nearly person who's going deaf, you know, so do we have to do sign language? But the council got a lot of signs to do with a lot of signs, but where are we situated with this? I remember when it came to this council many years ago, there was a little bit of kerfuffle, I can't even say the words properly, you know, about where we stand as a council, what's our legal obligations are, because there's a lot of ifs and whats and buts out there that may cause a bit of upset with not only just the people. It's called like a consultation process or thing. Maybe I've got it all wrong, or maybe I'm second guessing stuff, I don't know, but I remember when we had this meeting prior to all this now, and I asked Councillor Buchanan, I said, have we talked with a lot of the men's stuff? Yeah, because this is highly significant site throughout the whole of New South Wales, not only just New South Wales, but Australia. No? This was really, it was brought up at a lot of big conference over the years. So where do we stand? We, him and I, are responsible for, because we hacked in the better interests of the local government. Okay, so I've got to go back to the local government Aboriginal network yet, and I guess we're gonna do have a big discussion about that at some time this year before September.
Well, I think there's two areas here. There's the Farringdon and Fields area that actually has a declaration over it.
Okay.
And I can remember we all thought it was rather odd because it was only for 20 years. Cultural significance, in my opinion, does not have a use-by date. So why the government limited it to 20 years and it wasn't just permanent, I don't understand. Okay. But at the moment, that is in place and protects the land.
Yeah.
And it requires permission to be sought to enter onto the land. That applies to anyone.
Yeah.
Mr. Walsh is nodding his head. Now, there's another area, and that's why I've referred to the Len Roberts report, and it's referred to in that Len Roberts report as Area A, and that's the area of extreme cultural significance that we got agreement from forestry.
Yes.
But out of that 2 years of negotiation, it became quite clear that if Land and Sea Corporation purchased the privately owned land, there is a huge process that needs to be gone through in terms of consultation with the local and broader Gumbangia community. Yeah. So the proposal, from my understanding of the Len Roberts report, and at the time the council agreed, is that similar to Riverside Drive, that if Land and Sea Corporation fund the purchase, that the land be held in trust by council while that consultation occurs. That way, if it requires 5 years to complete it all, the land is... In other words, the land will belong to the Gumbangia community, but it allows the Gumbangia community time to sort out how it's to be managed, who's responsible, all that sort of thing. One of the concerns is that a significant part of the land that is of great cultural significance is currently in private ownership.
Right.
So the first priority that was agreed by all parties as a result of the Len Roberts authorised whatever was getting ownership of that land out of into public ownership. So I think that's what you're referring to in terms of the much broader consultation. So the idea is to get the land first.
I'm a little bit muddled up here, and I just a little bit older than I was many years ago. Okay, so
well, you're not the only one, and I've it's gone on for so long.
Well,
I actually I had to do a bit of background reading myself when I saw this. I thought, oh, how does this relate to? Because it is quite complex, and you're right, Councillor Ballengarry, it's gone on for so many years. It's more than 30 years since there was desecration on that site. So it's been a long time coming. So the end result was, I think everyone agreed, the first priority is to get ownership of the land and then have it held in trust. Then it can take however long it needs to take for that broader consultation that you referred to.
Thank you for that, Madam.
Does that help?
Yes, I hope so.
And that's why I'm sort of adding the extra dot point. I just want to make sure that in doing this and the plan of management, we're not doing anything that's going to diminish our chances of the federal government funding the purchase of Area A, because it's right next to Farringdon Fields.
Yeah. I got a little bit confused because that landscape has changed.
Yeah.
And it's changed for so I don't know whether that means anything, but
well, we've just broken all of the rules and done a lot of discussing without a seconder to the amendment. So the first thing I need to check is whether, because it's Councillor Buchanan's amendment, are you happy with my addition of an extra dot point? Otherwise,
yes, but I'm kind of thinking I don't know whether to ask the question now or in a half a minute, but on page 50 of the report, you've got dot points 1 through 5, and basically at the end of dot point 1 on page 50 you've got dot points 1 through 5, and at the end of dot point 1 it mentions with the intention of transferring it to Aboriginal ownership. My personal opinion is that the best possible outcome in that respect would be the Gargawangan Board of Management, because that is represented by a majority of Aboriginal owners, and they currently do take care of a fair chunk of land around here, and it's all national park, and there are sites currently on the national park and the new section to be added to the national park. So I don't know whether it'd be crossing any boundaries to maybe mention that they'd be a part of that consultation, even though they're not in the stakeholder database.
Well, can I suggest you add contact members of council Aboriginal stakeholders database, Gargawangan Board of Management, and extend. Does that cover it?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so, and are you happy with my dot point 3, just about making sure we're not stepping on any toes? Thank you, and that's Len Roberts, L-E-N, not Lang.
All right, just I'll get you to fix what the mayor just mentioned. So you said the
Len, L-E-N,
and then I'll get you to correct something. So the second word, Wangan.
Yeah, there's an N.
First one's fine. I think you've run into that enough times. So it's W-A-N. Double G. Double A-N.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
I've never got confused with Lang and Lenny. Sorry.
Land and Len, yep.
And now
might be my pronunciation too.
Now I'm happy with it.
Okay, so the mover of the amendment is happy with that wording? Just double checking. Yes?
Yes.
Do we have a seconder?
Yes.
Councillor Ballengarry has seconded it. It's now open for discussion.
Councillor
Janvey.
I think it's a terrific amendment because it might give the council the opportunity to engage with the database, and it's over a very, very important matter. It's a long time matter, so I think it's a worthwhile amendment, and I support it.
Thank you. If this Councillor Angel.
I've just got a question, probably for the General Manager, since we don't have the Mr. Webb here, but contingency, like we look at projects, I know it's not a big financial project, but it's been so long in the wings. We've got 30,000 from our environmental levy and 30,000 from the Department of Climate Change. Do we have a contingency financially where you don't have to come to council and say, look, we need the $5,000 here to keep moving? And probably the second part of the financial side of this is, well, it's not fair, but I looked at the 10-year long-term financial impact of this, and we're reducing it to nil for council. I think there should be, I don't know, not looking at another amendment somehow, but yeah, I don't think the word nil should be utilised in that 10-year forecast for this particular, or any sacred sites, to be truthful, that's on council in our LGA. I think we should look at that as an option to move as far as being aligned through it, as far as a financial forecast. But my more bigger problem is probably looking at, do we have a contingency? I look at, just an example was our last part of the budget. We had $70,000 sitting there for the fire shed that got burnt down. This has been a long time coming, not like a fire shed that just burnt to the ground. What do you guys have to power to not come and we have to have a council meeting, stuff stops, and we can say, look, keep moving?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Angel. The environmental levy money is identified separately, so there is a restricted asset that has a contingency value in it. If it was a significant amount, I'd bring it back through a quarterly budget review so that council are aware of what that cost is. We're not anticipating that just to do the plan of management. It would be subsequent work beyond that, and that might be something that we look at funding separately through other means, whether it's grant funding or something else.
Just for clarification, are you talking, Councillor Angel, are you talking about the actual work of revegetating the site?
Yeah, the revegetation. Yeah. I think the...
Not the development of the plan of management.
No, yeah, not the development of the plan. It's more the revegetation of the site. To me, it's such a decisive amount of money, 30 from them, 30 from us, and it's full stop. And then obviously our financial implications are a full stop 10 years for this particular part of the world. I just think I'd like to know that we just move on to exactly what you're saying, that we don't get dragged in for a council meeting to vote on another 5,000, because you are in places, you're in part of the land that I don't think it's been touched, what, since 95 or something. And, you know, Cactus Moran was talking about 2007 for natural bushland back then. So it's been a long, long time coming. And yes, I just feel like we don't need to come back at a council table to keep a native regeneration go back and going. So,
certainly. If we needed more money, there's no restriction on us tapping into that contingency. But if it's not budgeted for, it has to come back to council via the QBR, so which is just a process of putting it back to council for their approval to spend that extra money. Certainly, I agree. There'll always be an obligation, whether it's financial or from a management point of view, on council to continue to monitor and maintain that area.
Dare I suggest, I'm not sure it would necessarily be culturally appropriate, but wouldn't it be wonderful if this was an opportunity for volunteers to assist with revegetating? Because it's been an issue that's been a thorn in the side of this community for more than 30 years. It's the treatment of that particular site. It caused a lot of division in the community and great upset to the local Aboriginal community. If it was culturally appropriate, and I don't know that that is the case, but it would be an ideal project to see community broader community involvement, if that were possible, young people, some of our community groups, I'm thinking Short Track, some of the boys from that do the landscaping work, that kind of thing.
Thank you for the question.
It'd be wonderful if they could work together.
Thank you for the question, Madam Mayor. certainly as part of item, the...
It was subtle.
The amendment to add item 2 will enable us to have that consultation, and I think we can ask those questions about what's appropriate and that on board.
Thank you for saying. Because I was tempted to put it there, and then I thought it may not, given the nature of the site, I don't have enough understanding to know whether that would be culturally appropriate to have the broader community involved. So thank you for following that up during the consultation that Councillor Buchanan has now ensured we have. Councillor Jenby.
Just a correction to those minutes, Madam Mayor. on your behest, Councillor Ballengarry is the seconder. So, yeah.
Sorry. Amendment. Yes. No, it didn't have a seconder because we didn't. She went to second it, but we didn't actually have the wording of the amendment. And then when we had the wording of the amendment and I called for a seconder, I think Councillor Ballengarry was first cab off the rank.
I guess I had a long think about it.
More than happy for Councillor Ballengarry to
I thought you might be, so I didn't go back to you there. Thank you. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
There you go.
I'm just checking. Are we okay with him? He is the seconder of the amendment, yes. So, those in favour of the amendment? Thank you. Those against? It's carried. The amendment becomes a motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. Hey, councillors, page 56, item 11.5.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Angel.
From Mr. Walsh for the General Manager. Bellwater State, that's not the one next door to this Farrington village, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, is that a little bit, I mean, obviously on the back of all of what we're talking about, anything, is that a big enough fine? Like, I know it's a big fine, but they've been warned, and, you know, for this thing on the radar right now, maybe the buffer zone needs to be wider from their contribution to this, I'm not sure, but it's obviously going off the subject a little bit, but, yeah, it's pretty significant, and I hope on the back of this we're going to monitor them harder. From where they are.
Thank you for your question, Councillor. Yes, it's a significant fine. They were warned on a number of occasions. I guess this shows that we're prepared to go to the next level, and they have been and certainly are on our radar. And I'm firm with the Manager of Development and Environment that we would now be following that up even more closely. A nod? Yes, that's a confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 61, item 11.6.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 62, item 11.7.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. We have a seconder. Seconded Councillor Jenby. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? carried. And there are no late reports from engineering, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting, please? Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Jenvey. No public or written or verbal representations?
No, Madam Mayor, there is not.
Okay, those in favour? Against, it's carried, and we'll now turn off the recording and go into closed meeting.
That's one. It only takes 5 minutes.
Councillors will now resume an open meeting, and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In item 12.1, water leak adjustment, water account 11212801, Council resolved that Council resolves to write off $17,741.66, being made up of $8,048.30 for water usage and $9,693.36 for sewer usage for account number 11212801. Item 12.2, matters regarding realised or potential losses, that Council notes the information concerning the incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their courtesy and their attendance and declare the meeting closed.